All right, everyone. Welcome back. We are, thank you again to Anna and Neely and those who weighed in on this issue of the key performance indicators. That takes us to agenda item six, which focuses on the Advisory Council itself. I referenced yesterday the and today as well the 10 or so meetings that were held in early April using video conferences. We had very good turnout. I was pleased with the participation as well as the as well as the substance of the meeting. For me, it was extremely helpful. For those who participated, as you know, it was, 1 hour meetings, anywhere from myself and Anna, and could have been two other members, two members of the council on the call, as many as six. I had a few calls just bilateral with members due to timing difficulties or technical difficulties. You recall the whole objective of this self-introspection, which I think it's a vital function, looking back and looking internally. It's a vital function for any well-managed organization, and it should be done on a very regular basis. When my appointment was announced, the press statement said that the priorities that I am expected to fulfill, in addition to chairing the Advisory Council meetings and helping to set the agenda for the meetings. One of the motivations was to assess for the trustees of the foundation any relevant changes that may be warranted in the role and composition of the Advisory Council, as well as to position the council through any transition. We discussed really a fundamental question. What is the mandate of the council? What is our role? Do we have the right representation at the table in terms of diversity? We've got a an impressive array of professional profiles from all over the world. We look at considerations related to the gender composition, the size of the group. Are we operating efficiently? Is there room for improvement? So me as the new chair, and I've been a member of the council, I think since 2015 or 2016, let's say 2015. But of course, I'm approaching this now from a different perspective. So for me, it was extremely helpful. Also, though, and this, I wasn't aware of this, that we have a very unique demographic for the council. More than half of us have joined the council this year or last. Just this year alone, more than well, about one third of the council joined this year. So this is the first meeting for one third of the membership. So it really is timely to have this kind of discussion about what is our role, what's meant by a relatively new mandate, which is to provide broad strategic advice to the trustees and the board. So this, so I thought this was extremely helpful for new members, but also to bring in the more seasoned members to provide their important historical memory to the group. And again, I think the benefit of this is that we start fresh with me as the new chair and more than half of the council really just coming on to becoming members since last year. So it helps us arrive at a common understanding. We also discussed the feedback loop between, so we are meant to give advice, and that's something, by the way, that's something that's underway now. I will be engaging with the trustees. My expectation is that I speak with all of the trustees, as well as several members of the board. when this process is done. I've spoken with some trustees already. And by the way, I hope you saw Lee's message in the chat room earlier. He extends Joanna Perry's best wishes to us all. He had been speaking with her, and Joanna asked Lee to convey her best regards to us. Now, I've spoken with Joanna, and I've spoken with some other trustees, and I expect to speak with all of them, because that, after all, our clients, our customers, if you will, are the trustees and the board. So now that I've spoken with council members, really that's the next important step for me, to hear directly from individual trustees. And the trustees as a unit as well, I will participate in a meeting of the trustees that is scheduled for early June. Just to tell them where how far I've gotten, what we discussed in our small group meetings. But it was useful for me to hear about the feedback loop. So we provide advice, but how do we know that, how do we know the advice has been taken aboard? What are the responses? Are we hitting the right, hitting on the right topics? So this is the feedback loop that I mentioned. That's really critically important to find out what the reaction is to our advice. Are there opportunities for improvement, for communicating our views, or hearing the feedback on our views from trustees and board members? So these are things that I will explore in the next, the next several months. I think there are, Anna or Richard, are there 22 trustees? However many there are, I expect to speak with all of them. Okay. The other thing that we mentioned, just going back a second to the our mandate, broad strategic advice. That was an interesting discussion. I think once the due process handbook is finalized, and I think we heard from Erica yesterday that I believe that will be published in the coming weeks or in the very near future. I think that will be enshrined in the due process handbook, that we're meant to provide broad strategic advice. But what I heard from you is, the word sounding board or scanning body was mentioned several times. So we serve as a sounding board or a scanning body for the foundation and the trustees and the board. It's pretty much anything that we think is of interest or should be of interest to the trustees and the board. That's kind of our mandate, is to provide advice, a heads up in some cases about certain developments when it comes to the work of the foundation and the board. We talked about the membership in terms of professional profiles, geographic diversity, gender diversity, and I think that was also a very interesting. That's one of the strengths of the advisory council, is our diversity. And when it comes to public profiles, we've got really a very broad array, different perspectives of how people come at this. And I think that's really one of the key advantages of the council. The other thing that I mentioned, now you're probably tired of hearing me say that, when you first come to a council meeting, you walk in the room and, goodness, this big cavernous room, 60 people or so sitting around a table, some people sitting as backbenchers, and I might have used the word intimidating. It's not. I quickly discovered that it really isn't intimidating, because of this common spirit of there's really an excellent esprit de corps that everyone is coming at this, maybe they're coming at this work from a much different perspective, but everyone has the same common interest, and that's in some cases it's a passion for financial reporting and the work of the board and the work of the foundation. So I quickly was disabused of this notion that this is an intimidating setting. I hope people don't find this particular setting intimidating, because this is, you know, in the comfort and luxury of your own home or your office, this is, I don't find this too intimidating. Some of the next steps, as I mentioned, I will speak with each of the trustees. I will speak with the trustees as a unit in a few weeks. Once I do, I will provide periodic feedback to you, just to let you know what I'm hearing. I think I want to go back to this this issue of feedback again. I think the feedback, I think there are really good mechanisms already in place. If anything, I think we just need to take more advantage. I know I know for a fact in speaking with Anna and Lee, Neely, Richard, other other staff, the internal communication. I think I might have mentioned this to some of the some of our new members. The internal communication at the staff level is superb. So I am fully confident. I know for a fact that. For example, when we were talking about KPIs and we were talking about Hans's update, I think Anna mentioned she will take this back to staff. That is done. So there is this very strong, really effective and really efficient internal communication at the staff level. So I think we just need to be aware of that. I think the feedback that we get from the board and from the trustees, there is feedback. It's communicated to staff very effectively. Maybe we just need to, I don't know, work a little bit more in making sure all of us on the advisory council are aware of the feedback we're getting from trustees and the board. And the other thing is, I had been asked a number of times that what's the impact of the advice that we get? How does it how is it considered by the board and by the trustees? I think maybe we can do a better job at trying to communicate how our advice is considered. How is it factored into some of the work at the staff level, and how is it viewed by the board and the trustees? Anna, Richard, Lee, Nilly, we've all been discussing this. Is there anything at this point you'd like to weigh in on? In a few minutes I really just wanted to tee up this discussion. Once we move to the next agenda item, which is the summary of what we discussed yesterday and today, then we will. We'll go into a closed session and we can talk maybe in more specifics about the small group meetings and some of the discussions that we've had about the workings of the council. But for now, Anna, Richard, Lee, Nilly, is there anything further you'd like to say?
Just one quick observation, Bill, is that we've had various debates about, clearly, there are two ways that the council can give advice. First is we can ask you a question, and that's relatively straightforward. The other thing is you acting as our eyes and ears on the world. I think that's the one that tends to get overlooked. So if the council becomes aware of something that you need us, you think we should know about, council members shouldn't hesitate to tell us. Please don't wait for us to ask a question. And on strategic things, that's sometimes more difficult than it would be on a standard setting. So I think as that changes, it's important to keep an eye on that end of it.
Yeah, very good point, Richard. Thank you for that. And thanks for joining us today. That's a very good point. And it also reminds me that One of the interesting discussions that we had during the small group meetings was, and I heard a few different views, but the question was, should there be more inter-meeting communication? I think that there were a few voices that said, well, look, let's, you know, let's remain mindful of what we are. We're a group that convenes twice a year to provide advice to trustees and to the board. Let's not, you know, let's avoid mission creep, I guess is how I might paraphrase that. But I think the broader view among members was that, sure, why not? I personally would be more than happy to convene small group meetings similar to the ones that we organized in early April. I thought that worked out very well. It was a small investment in time for everyone involved, and it really is the purpose would be just to keep interested members up to date on latest developments. At the same time, I have to say, the amount of information that is available on the IFRS website is tremendous. So there are, and people pointed this out, there are opportunities to stay engaged, to be really up to date on the work of the board and the trustees. But that's something I would be pleased to consider, is trying to find ways of expanding inter-meeting dialogue among ourselves. So I'd like to, once we go to closed session in a few minutes, I'd like to come back to that issue just to hear your views. Again, the majority view was, yeah, I think that sounds to us like a good idea. But I certainly recognize that a few people thought, you know, it may not be necessary. It's a busy world. All of you have your, all of our members have their full-time jobs. And I'm very sensitive to time commitments and the time that people spend. So let us come back to that when we go into closed session. I'd like to hear more, more from members. Is that okay then? I'm going to open the floor once we move to closed session. For now, I will